peeping wide-eyed at the faintly glowing wall screen. My father had had Alex murdered? My father was responsible for his death? It was a terrible, awful accusation made by someone too cowardly even to show his or her face. And I believed it. That's what staggered me the most. I believed it. I believed it because I remembered the night before Alex left for his ill-fated expedition to Venus, the night he revealed to me why he was really going. Alex had told everyone that he was going to Venus to study the planet's runaway greenhouse, which was true enough, but he had a hidden agenda as well. He told me about it that night before he left. There was a political motive behind his scientific mission. I remember Alex sitting in the cozy, quiet library of the Connecticut house, where we lived with Father, and whispering his plans to me. Earth was just starting to feel the effects of greenhouse warming, Alex told me. Glaciers and polar caps melting, sea levels rising, global climate changing. The International Green Party claimed that drastic steps must be taken before the whole American Midwest was turned back into the inland sea it once was and the permafrost in Canada melted, releasing megatons of frozen methane into the atmosphere and driving the greenhouse effect even further. "You're one of them?" I whispered in the dark to him. "A green?" He chuckled in the shadows. "You'd be too, little brother, if you paid any attention to the real world." I remember shaking my head and muttering, "Father would kill you if he knew." "He knows," Alex said. He wanted to use his mission to Venus to show the world firsthand what a runaway greenhouse effect could do to a planet. Turn it into a dead ball of rock mantled in poisonous gases, without a drop of water or a blade of grass. It would be a powerful icon, a picture branded into the consciousness of the world's voters. This is what Earth will become unless we stop the greenhouse warming. Powerful political forces opposed the Greens. Men such as my father had no intention of letting the IGP gain control of the international organizations that regulated environmental protection measures. The Greens wanted to triple taxes on multinational corporations, ban all fossil fuel burning, force the evacuation of major cities, redistribute the world's wealth among the needy. Alex's expedition to Venus, then, was actually a mission to help the Greens, to give them a powerful image to use against the entrenched political power of the establishment, against our own father. "Father would kill you if he knew," I had said. And Alex had replied grimly, "He knows." My fear of Father's reaction was merely a metaphor, kid's talk. Now I wondered if Alex had understood it that way. I could no more sleep than I could lift Gibraltar. I prowled through my suite in the long shuffling strides that the moon's low gravity demands, by turns angry, frightened, desperate. Like all the lunar communities, Selene City is underground, dug into the ringwall mountains of the giant crater Alphonsus, so there is no dawn creeping through your windows, no sunrise to announce when a new day begins. The lights out in the corridors and public spaces turn up to a daytime level. Bang, that's it. In my suite, the lights turned on automatically as I paced, the switches activated by my body heat. After several hours, I finally realized what I would do, what I had to do. I ordered the phone computer to contact my father. It took several minutes. No doubt his disgusting party was still going on in high gear. At last, though, his face appeared on the wall screen in my sitting room. Father looked tired but relaxed, smiling lazily at me. I realized he was in bed, leaning back on glistening silk-covered pillows. He was not alone, either. I heard muffled giggles from beneath his bed covers. "You're up early," he said, pleasantly enough. "So are you," I replied. He huffed. "Don't look so disapproving, runt. I offered these ladies to you, remember? It would be a shame to waste such talent." "I'm going to take your prize money," I said. That popped his eyes open. "What?" "I'll go to Venus. I'll find Alex's body."
"You?"
He laughed. "He was my brother," I said. "I loved him."
"I had to twist your arm to get you to come up here to the moon, and now you think you're going to Venus?"
He seemed enormously amused by the idea. "You don't think I could do it?"
"I know you can't do it, runt. You won't even try, despite your brave talk."
"I'll show you," I snapped. "I'll take your damned prize money."
Smirking, he answered, "Of course you will. And elephants can fly."
"You're forcing me into it," I insisted. "That $10 billion prize is a powerful incentive to a man whose income shuts off next month."
His smirk faded, and he turned more thoughtful. "Yes, I suppose it would be, wouldn't it?"
"I'm going," I said firmly.
"And you assume that you'll win my prize money, eh?"
"Or die trying."
"You don't think you'll be the only one trying to grab my $10 billion, do you?"
"Who else in his right mind would even think of going?"
With a sneer, Father answered, "Oh, I know someone who'll try. He'll try damned hard."
"Who?"
"Lars Fuchs. That bastard's out somewhere in the belt right now. But as soon as the word reaches him, he'll head for Venus without blinking an eye."
Fuchs.
I had heard my father speak of Lars Fuchs often, and always with hatred. He was an asteroid miner, from what little I knew of him. Once he had owned his own corporation and had been a competitor of my father's. But now he was nothing more than an independent miner scratching out a living in the asteroid belt. A rock rat, in my father's genteel phrasing.
Fuchs, you'll have to wrestle my prize money away from him, Runt. I don't think you're man enough to do it.
I should have realized at that precise moment that he was manipulating me. He was forcing me to jump through his hoops.
But to be perfectly honest, all I saw was a life of destitution unless I could take that prize money. Well, that wasn't quite all that I was thinking about. I still saw Alex's handsome, determined face from that last night he had spent on Earth. "Father would kill you if he knew," I had said.
"He knows," Alex had replied.
Washington, D.C.
This is the opportunity of a lifetime.
Professor Greenbaum groaned like a creaking hinge.
"I'm too old to take advantage of it."
I had never actually seen an elderly person before. Not close up in the same room. I mean, poor people probably aged, but with everybody who could afford it getting telomerase treatments as soon as they reached adulthood, and rejuvenation therapy for adults who had aged before telomerase was approved for general use, no one grew old anymore. But Daniel Haskell Greenbaum was old. His skin was all wrinkled and spotted. He was stooped over and looked so frail I was afraid his bones would shatter when I shook hands with him. Actually, his grip was rather firm, even though his eyes were pouchy and the skin of his face sagged and was filled with lines and creases like a worn old arroyo eroded by centuries of weathering. Yet he was only 70-something. Mickey had warned me about Greenbaum's appearance. Michelle Cochran had been one of his graduate students. Now a full professor herself, she still worshipped Greenbaum. She called him the greatest living planetary scientist in the solar system. If you could call his asthmatic, arthritic, painfully slow pace of existence living. He had refused rejuvenation therapy for some obscure reason. His religion, I think, or perhaps just pure stubbornness. He was the kind who believed that aging and death were inevitable and should not be avoided. One of the last of that kind, I might add.
"He has the courage of his convictions," Mickey had told me years earlier. "He's not afraid of dying."
"I'm scared to death of dying," I had joked. Mickey hadn't seen the cleverness of my mo. Yet I knew she had taken telomerase treatments as a matter of course when she finished puberty. Everyone did. Greenbaum was the world's leading authority on the planet Venus, and Mickey had pleaded with me to meet with the old man. I had agreed without giving it another thought. The next thing I knew, she had arranged a meeting in Washington, D.C., not only with creaking Professor Emeritus Greenbaum, but with an angry-looking black bureaucrat from the space agency named Franklin Abdullah. My father had immediately trumpeted to the news media that his other son, me, was going to try to recover Alex's remains from the surface of Venus. Like a proud parent, he assured the reporters that if I came back with Alex's body, I would be rewarded with the $10 billion of the prize. I became an instant celebrity. Fame has its advantages, I've been told, but I have yet to discover any of them. Every scientist, adventurer, fame-seeker, and mentally unstable person in the Earth-Moon system sought me out, begging for a chance to go to Venus with me. Even religious fanatics had insisted it was their destiny to go to Venus, and I was God's chosen method of transporting them there. Of course, I had invited a half-dozen of my closest friends to come on the voyage with me. Artists, writers, videographers. They would make valued contributions to the expedition's history,
and be good company as well.